Spirit and the Church cry out, Lord Jesus. All those who await his appearance pray, Lord Jesus. The whole creation pleads, Lord Jesus. Joyous light of glory. Well, then,
John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks
be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we've reached the final week of these Advent midweek services in which we have been considering faith, hope, and love, just like your bulletin cover depicts. In the first week, we did consider faith, the evidence of things not seen. The second week, hope, we called it faith forward. Today, then, love. As we do, we'll use St. John's words that we heard in our first reading. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, If God has so loved us, let us then love one another. When we speak of love, I think that the universal symbol to depict love is the heart. And I know that these days a lot of people are fond of making hearts with their hands, and a lot of people are better at it than I am, so I'm not going to do it. But maybe it would be better if the universal symbol for love would be fruit. A banana, an orange. And you say, why? Sounds almost silly. Well, true love, Christian love, is the fruit of faith. There's a great woodcut that is included in the reader's edition of the Book of Concord. Some of you have it. And it shows the Lord Jesus Christ standing next to a tree. And at the base of the tree, the words are in German, is the word faith. But as you ascend the tree, midway up the tree, you have the word love. And then near the top, where the fruit is, you do have the word good works. Love, true Christian love, springs forth from faith. Faith gives rise and birth to true Christian love, which expresses itself in these good works. Martin Luther said this of faith. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It's impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question's asked, it's already done them and is constantly doing them. Love, springing forth from faith, this busy, active thing, faith. Martin Luther also has said, faith alone saves. Yes, faith, trust, apprehends the promises of God. Faith alone saves, but he said, but faith is never alone. And so, as we consider love today, we do consider this according to the words that St. John has written. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's the first part. He loved us. In this is love, says John, not that. And he puts out there what I suppose many people might think. He puts out there, I think, the way that human love tends to be. It's not that we loved God and God saw us loving him and thought, now, wow, look at that. That's something I've got to have for myself. Because that's how, as I think you all know, that's how human love tends to act. It tends to see the thing of its desire and say, I want that for myself. Commonly, that's the way that human love expresses itself. I don't mean Christian love. I mean the common human love that one might contend you would find among many out there. No, but this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And before we race on to the next part of the verse, which we're probably want to do, please do think about that. Here's love, that he loved us. We don't have to rehearse here in front of everybody your or my own faults and shortcomings. You know them well enough for yourself. But this is the us that John is speaking about here. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. In our coldness, our duplicity, our negligence, our laziness, our self-centeredness, in all such things, still, he loved us. And, of course, the Holy Scripture is replete with such phrases. It doesn't do us harm to repeat these, though. because by them we're reminded what is a fact of your life and mine. God so loved the world, so it says, that he gave his only begotten, his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Or it says elsewhere, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. Do you remember in the Lenten hymn we sing, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. That's a great line. And as we here consider love, and first of all, his love toward us, let's remember that line. Here we are deep in Advent, but we can remember that line. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Or there's this from the Holy Scripture as well. Not long before John says what he says here in our first reading tonight, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And we are, he says. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. He himself is really actually how it reads, as I recall it. But he himself loved us. And he sent his Son, his only Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. A propitiation is an expiation, or if you like, a conciliation, or an appeasement, or atonement, or a making amends for something. Well, that's what he sent, as you know, his Son to be. For you. But for you, individually, all by yourself for you, but yes, for you, all of you, and me. And forgiven much, we love much. Do we not? Forgiven much by our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us, do you not love him much? I'm sure that you do. It's like the woman in the text, the second reading for the evening. She was not forgiven and saved because she loved. And the Lord looked at her and said, now look at this. She certainly deserves to be commended for her love for me. So I'll issue to her some sort of pardon from her sin. It wasn't that way at all. When he speaks about her loving much, there in that word is bound up everything I contend to you. Everything. Yeah, she loved much, but that's because first she hoped in Christ and she had faith in him that he could help. She knew who he was and that he could help. And yes, this faith in him fostered within her this love, and it was all bound up there together. She was not forgiven because she had loved as something like a quid pro quo. Do you know in our own Lutheran confessions, commenting on this very verse, it says, Jesus teaches this, forgiveness of sins is properly received by faith, even though love, confession, and other good fruit ought to follow. Having been forgiven much, and we love. We love him. And at his bidding, we love others too. Do we not? And I say at his bidding because that's clearly what he would have his people to do, is love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Or again, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Or simply said, beloved, if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so that brings us to the second and the final point. Yeah. He loved us, let us then love. Your love and mine is not self-generated, as I think you know. It's fostered, love fostered by love. Might sound strange at first, but it makes a lot of sense, I think. Love fostered by love. We sang about this in the hymn, beautiful hymn that we just did sing, that Paul Gerhardt hymn. In the second stanza, here's what he says. O grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. O may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, and my crown. All coldness from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought be love. Love, his love, fostering within you love. And this love fostered within you, as we describe it, is not, as I said before, not the kind that the world loves with. It looks at something. Luther put it well. He says, yeah, often with worldly, non-Christian worldly love, someone say, I love him, or she loves him, or he loves her. No, it's not that way. He loves hers, and she loves his. In other words, he loves what she can give, the things that belong to her, whether it be beauty or other attractiveness or whatever it might be. That's so often the way that non-Christian human love loves, is it sees something, it wants something, it says, I love that, I'm attracted to it, I'm allured to that thing because I want what it can give to me. That's not Christian love. Here's Christian love. We'll leave it to St. Paul to describe it for us. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a high calling. Who do we love? Well, you and I are inclined, I think, to love those that are lovable. It's hard to love those that are not lovable. Let's hear Luther on this one again. A Christian loves his neighbor as a brother. He makes no difference between persons or things. He doesn't consider whether he's serviceable or not, whether he's wise or unwise. As for the rest, the world loves differently. And then he cites an old phrase, the common people judge friendships by their usefulness. With the deaf, rather with the weak, the unlearned, the ungrateful, no one desires to associate. But God loved all, even his enemies, without making any difference. Therefore, we too should love as brothers, even those who are not lovable. And that too is a high calling. Even loving those who are not lovable, as the saying goes, Luther, he wrote it in Latin, whether it was an old saying or not, common people, they judge friendships by their usefulness, but we don't, as Christians. We love those, even those who are not lovable. And how do we? Again, once more, Luther, if you want to know how you should love your neighbor and want to have a clear illustration, note carefully how you love yourself. When in need and danger, you would certainly very much like to be loved and helped by all the advice, means, and powers of all men and creatures. Therefore, you need no book, as it were some sort of manual, to teach and admonish you how you should love your neighbor. You have the finest and best book containing all laws in your own heart. I think what we've heard describes quite precisely how the Lord Jesus loved you and me. Even when difficult, even when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And you know the rest of the story. So in your lives, as you consider the scope of it, how can you love? Who can you love? Who stands in need? What kind of need? What has God given you by which you can fill that love, rather that need, with your love? And as you consider that, looking across the span of your life, the scope of your circumstance, consider this too, that as the Holy Scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. And of course, Christ's did too. Last thing. I think we ought not soon forget how attractive also Christian love can be. We had a fair number of people here this morning with the homeschool together day. There was some 70 plus people here this morning for worship. But tonight, here we sit, roped off the back of the church, and still we have plenty of room. And sometimes we at Lutheran Church of Our Savior in these days, we might wonder, how can we attract more people here? Let's never forget the warm, alluring attraction of Christian love, especially in a hard and cold world like ours. It's noticed. Some of you might remember the illustration that I told once of a pastor in Texas, who had a man come to him. Now, this fellow was a traveling salesman, and he came to the church. I think he perhaps made an appointment, wanted to talk to the pastor. And he said, "I want to join your church." Oh, great. But often pastors like to know, what is it? What brings you here? You know what he said? He said, "I see the way that your people love one another, how they treat one another. And I want to be part of that." Few things, I think, are as alluring as a fervent love that Christians have for one another. As we bear with each other, as we lean on each other, as we rely upon each other, as we extend a hand to one another in our times, our mutual respective times of need, and people see it, people notice it. The Holy Scripture says they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's also the mark of a Christian, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, "They will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another"? And so let's so do. Faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Did you ever wonder why? The greatest of these is love. Why? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, but one day faith gives way to sight. Hope is a faith forward, but one day we will realize the things that now we hope for on God's promise. But love never ends. Love never ends. God grant you a blessed remainder of this Advent season. And as he does, I pray that you continue to pray the prayer that you can find in your hymnal. We haven't used it in the evening service because of the setting of the service, but we've used it regularly in the morning service, and here's how the prayer goes. Almighty God, grant us a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love for you and one another. through Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand and we sing.
We remember by name Jesse Gonzalez, who has been recently hospitalized and had surgery this morning. We also remember the mothers, plural, of Steve and Monique Hirschbach, who are both hospitalized at this time. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew, our Synod President, and Michael, our District President, for all pastors.
pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord. For the presidency of this nation, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord. Spirit, bless and preserve you.